I'm going to begin with a question, actually two questions. You don't have to raise your hands, but you can think about your answer in your heads as you were growing up, all right? So as you're growing up, did you ever get in trouble just because you took the time to listen? You listened to people and their thoughts or opinions. Did you ever get in trouble for that? Did you ever get in trouble for anything you said? My guess is if you were to think about it, you probably got in trouble more often because of things that you said than you did for listening. Just my theory. I like this quote that one person said, "Wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk." I've said it over and over and over and over all the time, and it's just an observation in my own life how it's played out and how I see it in other people and just life in general. But I become more and more convinced all the time that there's really only one difference between a wise person and a foolish person. And that is wise people listen and foolish people don't. Wise people listen, fools don't. Solomon, in chapter 8 of this chapter of Proverbs, tells us the benefits. He says it's more valuable, more priceless than, you know, gold or rubies, jewels, all these kinds of things. Over the years, having gone to so many different kinds of places with high school students over the summer, different mission trips and inner city service projects, stuff like that, certain places stand out, and I've shared it before too. There was this one place, I don't even remember what city it was, but it was a number of years ago, and we were in a shelter, like a rescue mission type place where we were going to do serving for the afternoon. I think it was like a feeding project we were going to do. And the guy from the shelter welcomed us, told a little about himself, and he himself at one time had been on the streets. And he came to faith in Christ, and he was now a part of the ministry there. And would ask groups all the time, people who were in there coming in off the streets. And he said, I always ask them this question. If you had just listened to your parents, your teachers, your pastor, would you be here today? If you just listened to certain people in your life, would you be here where you're at today? Listening is so important. It's how Solomon begins the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 8. He says, listen, my son. And you come to realize that, yes, as he's writing this, he's writing it to his son, per se, but also to just the young. We'll call them the young in quotes. Or people who, just because of their maturity, have a tendency just to blindly follow people without even really thinking. So those who are acting immature, or people who just don't want to listen, you know, people in that state, nobody in that kind of a mindset really has any long-range type of focus, right? They don't think, well, if I do this, this could be the consequences, or if I do this, you know, what's the effect of this going to be like even a day from now, or a month from now, or 5 years from now? I think over time, and we've all gotten to that point, you know, maturity develops over time where you realize, yeah, I better get one more piece of advice, or yeah, I better think about this before I make this decision, because in the past this happened, and we learn over time the consequences of decisions and actions. And as some people would say, just because you're smart doesn't mean that you're wise. We've all met people like that, right? We've met some very smart people in our life. But sometimes just because you're smart doesn't mean that you have wisdom. And other people you would meet in life that they, you know, maybe wouldn't have, they hadn't gone to college, or they don't have what we would think would be a, you know, high education, but they are some of the wisest people, and the way they see life and do life is just kind of blows our minds sometimes just because of the insights they have. So what Proverbs seeks to do, and particularly chapter 8 here, is just kind of unpack this thing called wisdom. And we come to see some interesting things about it. And so wisdom, wisdom's passion, it trains and corrects the immature, the inexperienced and naive. It's just there. It wants to help people grow and mature. It comes to offer to teach knowledge and prove judgment so we can make better decisions. And the one thing we come to realize too is it's for all. And the call is universal. When you look at wisdom, particularly in this chapter, it's one thing that's personified. And in other words, it means to take something and give it human characteristics, to make it come alive. So it's almost like a person talking to us, or an action or a play here. And so by doing so, the concept of understanding and discernment made wisdom more than just kind of information and principles, but this is almost like a person coming to us. And that's why Solomon transformed wisdom from an it to a she, a proper noun. She is able to interact with the world around her. So how do you find wisdom? How do we go about finding wisdom in life? Well, one thing it does is it calls out. As it says there, it calls out as we travel along life's way. As it says, where paths meet at the crossroads of life. If we ever need to make a decision in life, it's like it's there, or she's there. It's almost like someone is waiting at every juncture or place that we could find ourselves in life, waiting to be a resource, to help in some way. It's almost like someone with a map. Guidebook, directions, so we who don't want to lose our way, we just listen, we learn, we find out so that we can move in the right way. So wisdom here wants itself to be known. And it's not just for people with a higher education or high mental capacity. I think if you really boil it down, wisdom is a spiritual thing. Where our attitudes are at, because it ultimately will involve what we believe and how we live, not just how much information that we can retain and cram into our heads. And again, wisdom is found at every intersection or crossroad, every hilltop and the gates of every town and city, wherever it is, whatever something is happening, she presents herself, wherever people may gather. You need truth, you need guidance, you need whatever, it's available. And it's interesting in that image 3 there, wherever you could, again, find your place in the midst of life. And it doesn't just sit around waiting for people. It's almost like she just wants to go out and find people, look for people and say, you know, just make herself as available as possible to be there for people to consult. It goes out. It seeks out. One thing, too, as a person, wisdom is able to rebuke the foolish and to praise the wise. Cries out. Cries out because she wants everyone to be able to hear what she's trying to express. And then we come to realize, too, that these are words that can be trusted. Says in verse 6, listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my mouth to say what is right. And we've heard that before. Who have we heard it for? Jesus said, you know, my word is truth. Jesus speaks forth wisdom. God's word speaks forth wisdom. You see, how do you discern things? What do we lay things alongside of when we're trying to make decisions in life? And that's what's so incredibly beautiful about the whole book of Proverbs, is because of the statements and the wisdom that it offers just about just doing life. And throughout Scripture, wisdom is, in a sense, begging us to listen, offering words of truth, or just the lies that come at us from around us in the world. And how do you know? How do you discern one thing from another unless you have something to lay it alongside to see if it squares up? The one thing is, true wisdom will always deliver on her promises, because the purpose is not to deceive and destroy, but to enlighten and give life. When we've talked before about Jesus presenting himself as the good shepherd, I think the question always is, when we look at, you know, Jesus or anyone else in life in our, you know, comes around us, we ask the question, what's this person going to do or offer me? Will this bring and offer life? Does it support and build up the concept of life and wisdom and these things? Or does it tear it down or bring division and problems, or seeks only selfish ends? See, wisdom is more than knowledge. It's being able to accomplish something. Knowledge is something that often stays in our mind, but wisdom comes out in the form of action. Our lives are filled with examples of how wisdom is important to us. I could go around today and just have a conversation with you, and I could find out for anyone here, there's certain things you know a lot about. Whatever you're into, all right? You know a lot about it. We all know a lot about certain things. But sometimes it goes beyond just what we know, right? I may know how to lose weight. It's whether I do what I know I need to do to lose weight. And sometimes I do what I know I need to do, and sometimes I don't, and I know the effect. But I know what to do. I definitely know what to do. Person's partner, we may tell them, I love you, but do they see that in action? You know, it says in 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We can tell our spouse, we can tell our children, I love you, but it's nice sometimes if that's backed up with the actions of sacrifice and service and demonstrating that. I can say, I know my car needs regular maintenance. I know that. You know that. But do we take our car to have the oil changed? Or we take our vehicle to have the maintenance done on it? We know we're supposed to do it, but do we? See, it's not just knowledge. It's something in play that brings something out to accomplish something. Now, what's really interesting is, as the lesson was read today, it started like the first few verses in chapter 8 and then jumped down to the bottom part. And then it got, well, that's interesting way of looking at wisdom. Because when we ask God for wisdom, what we are asking for is something that's been around since the foundation of the world. It's really interesting language, that last part of that chapter. And it says, wisdom was present already in eternity before the creation of the world. God used wisdom in creation. It says, the universe was created by God's word. God said, let there be. And the way everything came about in the most beautiful design and purpose expressed true wisdom and understanding. God spoke, there was that wisdom, and things came about that never were before. It says in creation, the Lord possessed me. with God, more than a spectator, an active participant, consistently, it says, at his side. Her love for God's creation, especially human beings, was without measure. You start thinking, well, really, what is wisdom? You can look at it a lot of different ways, but a lot of Bible scholars have concluded, ultimately, maybe wisdom is Jesus, or it's Christ. From the very beginning, God had a plan to love us and to save us and to rescue us. And it wasn't just expressed just on words that ended up on a page or in words that came from a prophet's mouth. It actually happened. His love included actions that are demonstrated by Jesus. His willingness to come into this world, lay down his life in our place. He didn't just say, I love you. He sacrificed his life for you. We can know the love of God simply by just looking at Christ. And maybe say wisdom, it's knowledge incarnate. It's knowledge in the flesh. And when we learn that wisdom is applied knowledge, it makes sense that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And the Apostle Paul referred to him that way. And so instead of just having the knowledge of God loves us, he makes that, again, real and applied by having Christ come and demonstrate that through his life, his death, and his resurrection. Christ is wisdom. See, when you look at what wisdom is doing there at the very beginning in chapter 8, why in the world would God care that much about us? Maybe because we're fools in need of some wisdom. Maybe we are sinners in need of a Savior. The God we have is wisdom, and he is love. And he says, out to pursue us and make himself known in who he is and what he has done. He comes looking for us. He even becomes a human being in order to reach out to us, because that's what his heart is like. That's what it looks like. He wants us, and he's willing to lay his life down for us. The great Creator has come to save us. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24. Jesus is the wisdom of God. The one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Paul says in the book of Colossians. So there in the end of chapter 8 of Proverbs, for whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. See again, what ultimately is wisdom? Through all that stuff, to be able to hear and see the things that matter most. If you were to take Proverbs chapter 8 and every single time you saw the word wisdom and you put Christ in there, that'd be an interesting perspective on things, the way we apply it. We go after so much stuff in this world. We go after the gold and the silver and the rubies of the world because of its value, because it's precious. But where does wisdom come in our list of things that we're going to pursue and go after? This book is so much about just seeking the things that really can give us a sense of perspective on life and pursuing those things. So really, how can you find wisdom, or how can you find life without Christ? Truly. You see, to know Christ is to possess wisdom. I like this expression, maybe you've seen this before. Know Christ, know wisdom. Know Christ, know wisdom. And it's so true. So it's a call to growth, because to grow in Christ is to grow in wisdom. Because that's really true wisdom, the wisdom that allows us to know ourselves in relation to our loving God and Father through Jesus Christ. And so to grow in the Word, which is Christ, is really, truly to grow in wisdom. The Sunday after Pentecost, which was last week, today being Trinity Sunday, as we look at the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to bring us to faith, to keep us in the faith, and the whole plan of salvation, is now it's time to grow in that faith that we've come to know. So it's the perfect way of launching us into a whole season of the church year over the next 27 weeks to grow in the Son, to grow in that faith and that life that has been given to us as a gift through the work of Christ and gifted to us through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the call is to seek wisdom, really. It's to seek Christ. And everything else has a way of just kind of falling into place. Wise people listen. They're willing to humble themselves to just listen to God as he comes to us in his word. The things that maybe we don't want to hear, we listen to. The things that we do need to hear, again, we listen to. And he does that work in our heart, in our soul, our life, and recreates and retransforms and makes things new and all those things to make us more and more into what he wants us to be. Little Christs in this world. So seek Christ. Seek wisdom. And he'll do amazing things in and through your life. And now may the peace of God